Good day, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Fairway Fit Golf Podcast, where two friends get together to talk about how we are trying to look good, feel good, and play good. Let's go. Welcome back to Fairway Fit Golf Podcast. We have episode 15. Greg is here with us, and we are going to talk about how the tides are turning for episode 15.
Starting to change. This is my comeback song.
The tides are turning. So we have a lot of golf to talk about. We have a big announcement to talk about at the end of the episode, and we're going to jump right into it. We are in the middle. We are in the grind. The dog days of summer in our summer season. We are going to actually talk about 2 weeks, two rounds that we were able to play. Week five, to finish off the first half where we had single points available to take. And then we have week six, which starts the backside of our summer season, which are worth double the amount of points. We do apologize. We have a little bit of a gap since we were last to get on, but we had some stuff we had to take care of for our family, for Greg's family. But we are back. We're excited. One of us is a little more excited than others. And Greg, before we get into the rounds, how are we doing? How's the family? How's everybody doing?
We're doing well. We're back home in Virginia, so it's good to be home. Good to be sleeping in my own bed for a change. The month away was cool and all, but at the same time, for 3 weeks, you're pretty much ready to be back in your own bed and not living out of a suitcase.
Yeah, and I know for your whole month, some of it was more entertainment-type purposes than some. But no, I know we're glad. That my family's glad to have you back. My kids are looking forward to seeing you. They were excited to see you the other day, actually. Let's be honest. My wife and I, we actually bought a new mattress. And when we went out of town, I was like desperate to come back to the new mattress. There is nothing better than your own bed. Let's be honest with that.
No, not at all. There is, when it comes to sleeping in like hotel beds or like a Airbnb bed or whatever bed, it sucks. At my parents' house, me and Laura share a twin bed rather than a queen bed. And it's just, I love her to death. Step down from a queen bed.
Okay.
Twin. And I was like, wow. I'm sorry. I never sold mattresses in my, it's just one of those things where you're just like, all right, I love you, but I don't want you that close to me when we're sleeping. I want my own space. And of course, having little kids with you, Elise likes to climb up in bed with us at times when she's off of her blow up mattress on the ground. So it's not the most restful sleeps that you get down there.
I tell you what, it's not just the mattress though. It's your own pillows. I don't know why. When you find in these hotels, they get these pillows that you almost need like five of them because your head just sinks through them and it's...
You wake up like feeling like your chins rest on your chest the entire night. Absence the week that I was gone before coming back and picking up the family when I rushed down to North Carolina, my lovely wife actually stole my pillow. I bought her a brand new, like $70, one of those like Tempur-Pedic cool touch pillows. And I had bought one about a year ago for me. And I came home and it was on her side of the bed and I had her brand new pillow. So I'm adjusting to the new pillow. I might pull the trigger and go buy myself another one of the one that I have. But she was like, dude, she was like, I laid on it and it was awesome. So I just took it. Happy wife, happy life.
It smelled just like you.
Just like the back of my head.
Oh, no. So, good to have you back. I know we've actually met up and played two rounds ourselves, a couple for our summer season, one of course, with Knott. And been fun to have you back and definitely getting to hang out a little bit more. So let's talk week five. So week five, we did this last week. We started. I was able to get my round on the Tuesday of the week. We got back in town the week before, so it didn't really interfere with me. I was able to get out now as I walk the rounds at my course, and I sometimes think I'm a little tougher than I am, and it was a heat index of about 102, and solid. I figured that I wasn't going to shoot a 102, so I said, what the heck, we're going out, and I went out and walked 18 holes. It was hot that day. I cannot say it didn't bother me a little bit near the end, but I would say that the next day I went out again, it was another heat index of a 101, 102. I did feel it more on that second day, but luckily the round for the week counted and I actually hit the ball pretty well. Being out of town just a little bit, I did notice the course still missing the water. I think we might still be in a mandatory conservation of water out here with the drought. We're starting to get showers here and there, nothing major, but starting to get some more showers. So hopefully it's helping us out. The ponds are pretty low in the course, but played pretty well. I went out pretty hot, actually, which I was pretty pleased with. And I remember I came in a little frustrated with a late double bogey and a bogey to shoot a 39 on the front, but I was able to turn it around on the back. On the front, I was 3 of 7 of my fairway, 7 of 9 of my greens, had 17 putts. So even though I was hitting the green, I was not hitting it very close. So pretty happy with that. What did you do for your round? And then we'll hit the back nine afterwards.
I decided that I was going to play Compass Point one last time before I headed home. Luckily, I told my mom just to go ahead and cancel my dad's golf membership that they have there, considering it's not really worth the money to play. What, I'm going to be down there maybe 4 times a year. So I told her that I'll just link on to a friend of hers that is a member there, and he can bring me on as a guest whenever I'm down there. But I went out and played Compass Point, course that I've played a handful of times. I probably played it about 12 times, and it's a great course every time I play it. I did not start out as hot as I usually do on that course. I was battling the driver again. I was battling the tee ball again, and came out. I finished the front nine with 3 straight pars to right the ship a bit, and shot a 46 on the front. It was 2 for 7 fairways. I was only 22% greens, and I had, I had 4 drops on that. Like, I just, to bring it back, you remember that course, it has that just really tight off the fairway due to so many houses around the area, white stakes everywhere. Plenty of times I was maybe 5 yards out of bounds and had to bring it back in and drops. That always has a tendency to hurt me on that course, but righted the ship for 7, 8, 9 and parred out. Had a birdie look on 9, which I usually do, but just burned an edge and tapped in for a par. So
now you are playing at a what right now? On that course, I know it's a little difficult. What did that have you at a course?
On that course, I was playing as 17.5 into that course. But the handicap system on that puts me at as a 21.
Ooh, okay. So you are getting 10.
10 strokes, 11 shots on each side.
10, 11 shots a side. So I was 39, net 37. So that would have put you.
I was 46, 40, net 36.
All right. So we're pretty much right there, even after 9. Going into the backside, like I said before, I ended roughly a little frustrated, but played pretty solid on the back. I shot a 36 on the back. Again, I hit 4 of 7 fairways, so 7 of 14 total. I hit another 6 of 9 greens, but I had 15 putts, 13 of 18 greens total, 32 putts. So I was able to have a 75, net 71, had 4 bogeys, 1 birdie, and I did walk off the course. I'm not going to lie, because last time I shot the 75. I did net, I think, a 68 or 69 that day, and I've been able to drop my handicap a little bit since then. I almost threw out the Hail Mary at you. I almost did it, but I just didn't feel that well. Honestly, I was hoping to birdie 18 and get to that 74. I was going to grab that bonus number, but I did not. I ended up parring 18, which is not a hard par 5, but it's could definitely get into some trouble quickly. So I took home 75-71, and let us have it.
I righted the ship, like I said, with my last 3 holes in the front 9. I would say that after a rough start, I played the last 12 holes 8 over. So right at the ship, I had a double on a par 5, which is horrible to have. I had a drop on that because I just basically had my infamous power fade out of bounds on the right-hand side, but ended up shooting a 44 on the back. I hit 3 for 7 fairways. I was only 11% on greens. It's ridiculous how much your green and regs are just so much different than mine. And ended up carding an even 90 for a net 69.
Yeah. Yeah. Net 69.
The biggest difference is I'm not hitting green and regs, but for some reason, even with it, they were punched greens, but they were rolling really well. I only had 29 putts that day.
That's it right there. That's a huge difference. When you're anywhere, let's be honest, if you're anywhere 33 or under, that's a good day. If you're under 30, that's a really good day. And yeah, I get it. If you're not hitting greens, you may be chipping it, have a chance to chip it close and everything. But no, that's a good round for you. Hopefully we'll get that handicap going in the right direction.
It's working its way. It's chipping away at it.
Chipping away. But it is what it is. I know I played Compass Point with you. I know once for sure, it could have even been a second time, and it's a tough course. And I know it's not somewhere you play all the time, although when you get down there, you do see the familiar holes. But no, that's a good round. So you closed out the first half of our summer season with a point there. And so that brought you to, I think that puts you at 3.5.
Because I had 1 point and 1 point for the sub 85 round.
Hold on. No, I have you at a 3.5. You had 2 points for the sub 85. You won that one, and then you had a bonus point. Then you had a half because we pushed, and then you won there for 3.5. And I am at 3.5 as well. So after 5 weeks, take a look at it. We are all tied.
All square.
I got you.
So after doubling down for the back.
After all my complaining on how you get too many strokes and it doesn't make it fair, the handicap system probably has some sort of reason why they do what they do. And we are back, even though 2 years ago we were playing head to head and sides. But, you know, it is what it is. Not going to complain about it. So congratulations.
I was a dummy back then. I'm a little bit smarter now. I was also not an 18 handicap.
Yeah, I would say the biggest difference is the handicap, not the dummy factor, but that's besides the point. So that was week number 5, halfway through the season. And for those that don't remember, in our summer season, we were playing a 10-week long summer season. For both of us, we have a little bit more time right now. The first 5 weeks, you can earn a point with the victory on your first round of the week. The second 5 weeks, it's going to be worth 2 points. We also have ways to get bonus points. You can throw a Hail Mary where you maybe played well and you want to double up your points. You can also throw a blind Hail Mary, meaning you don't know what you're going to score, but you go out there hoping to bring that home. I do have a feeling with the tides turning, and we'll get into round number 6. I think some Hail Marys might be thrown out here.
If I keep playing well, I might be going blind Hail Mary every week.
But we might see how we're going to be looking here at the end. But I know over the weekend, I went down and saw you, North Carolina. You ended up coming back. I think I came back Saturday. You came back Sunday. And another person's come back to the area. My brother has rejoined us from across the pond. And he is a member at another course pretty close to us. Actually, like a middle ground. If you really think of it,
some point.
A triangle, really, more or less, to get to his course. And he came back the Monday before, and I saw him one time, but he was like, hey, you want to play golf? Really hard to turn down. The Lansdowne Resort courses that he plays on.
Especially
one
for...
One of his courses was having guest appreciation where it was only cart fee. And so when he asked, I was like, hey, you got room for another person? And he goes, yeah, come on. And the two of us, I think we played for $58 at a Greg Norman course. It's their second. They have 3 courses there because they have the Shark Bite. I bet Shark Bite and Norman were probably made at the same time. So right around the same time, that was their second course. They added on to their RTJ course. I'm not going to sit here and tell you if the Norman course is my first one I want to go play over there.
You have played well in the RTJ compared to that.
I've always liked the layout a little bit better on the RTJ. And I'm not going to harp and complain as much as I might do during the mid rounds of the Norman course, because in reality, it's not a bad course. It sits right there on the Potomac. And I tell you what, it was green. It was, for all the drought and weather we've had, it almost was wet. Now, I know we got a little bit of a shower for about, half a hole.
About a 10-minute shower.
Yeah, and because we pulled over and waited. But again, nobody on the course. So we pulled over under a tree, but it was wet. I was shocked even before the rain. I mean, they must be doing a great job keeping that grass green, because it looked really good. I thought the greens were
shaped. There was no hybrid run out for your brother.
No, not at all. Yeah, he's still used to playing overseas where he thinks he can hit that 5-iron. Landed about 170 and roll out for another 30 yards. I'm just glad he's carrying 14 clubs. Let's just say, because he had that.
They're all warm.
And they're all warm with those wool head covers he's got on there. He did have that. He had 5 different ones. He's so proud of those two.
Appreciate you taking me out.
So. Yeah, they are pretty cool. Let's be honest.
I'll say that on air. I won't drop your name, but I appreciate you taking me out.
let's be honest. I think one head cover is Carnoustie, one is St. Andrews, and he's got a couple out of the big courses.
Puttercrow's old course.
Yeah, so a little jealous with that, but maybe the design could have been a little bit better. But anyway, so the course was in great shape. The greens, I thought, they weren't slow, they weren't fast. They weren't bumpy, but I've seen them in better shape.
Yeah.
That's about it. I think they could have been. Maybe that's not the day they cut them. Maybe you can catch them on a better day. I'm not really sure, but I'll come out and say it wasn't my day. I thought I hit it really well in the range. Came out, played number one. Like, I knew exactly what was I doing, but ended up tripling two. And I'm not even going to read off a lot of my stats. I ended up shooting 43 on the front. Ended up shooting 44 on the back for a gross 87, net 83. I really think what I'm doing right now, Greg, is I am throwing you the biggest softball in the world.
And I think you're allowing the handicap to get into your head and thinking that you just need to throw up a 72 in order to try and beat me, which, tell you the truth, is almost a compliment if you think you have to shoot below par to beat me. Exactly, net below par.
No, but
shots, you had some bad shots. I think at times, if you look through the scorecard, really you've rebounded well from your bad holes. You never had consistent two bad holes. You had the worst string you had was a bogey, a double bogey, a birdie, and a bogey. That was the worst string of holes that you had.
I had 2 triple bogeys and 3 double bogeys. And that's the difference between shooting, if I cut those in half, it's the difference between shooting 80, 81. If I can eliminate half of those and cut them back to even bogeys, I'm shooting that 78, 79. And I'm still, as much as I'm getting closer to shooting, or hitting one of my goals of shooting par around, I know it's going to have to be a pretty lights out day to do that. And I still have that mindset where I want to be in the 30s on both nines. That's a goal that I like to be. Like right now at my home course, I could feel a bad round being about a 78, 79, 80, where I know when our courses I don't play that much, that's probably a bad round is 79 to like 82, just because you make mistakes because you're not there all the time. And I've played Norman, I don't know, half a dozen times. It's exactly what I remember it. It's very tight. It's fairway, 3 yards of rough, out of play. Luckily, we got it. And maybe that is why they keep the course so wet, because if it was a rock hard pin, no balls would stay in play. Course was in good shape. I'm not going to complain about it, because the more I think about it, the more I actually, some of the holes and some of the layouts. But there it is, man. There's that softball laid up to you. Knocked it out of the park.
I started with a great waterlogged snap hooked 3 hybrid off the tee on one, But
I think you did it twice too.
I did. You actually gave me a breakfast ball because in typical Greg fashion, I arrived 3 minutes before tea time.
You did?
I did hit like 3 balls on the range though while we were waiting. But I did not start out hot. I think I carded 3 doubles and a triple on the front on top of, I only parred one hole for 49 on the front, which is going the opposite direction that I've been going right now. But I hit 3 for 7 fairways. I was 22% green in regs. I had 18 putts on the front nine to include, I think, only 1 3-putt. Not bad. So came out of the front nine with a 49, settled down in the back nine for the most part, went par. Then I had a double and a par three. For some reason lately, par threes have just been murdering me. Double, then bogey, par, bogey, then finished off an 18 with a double bogey and a 3-putt for another 18 putts. On the back, I was 5 for 7 on fairways and reg. I was 33% on green and reg. The biggest difference on the back was I think I had 4 drops on the front nine. I didn't have any on the back nine. So shot a stellar 92, but once again, the handicap was playing me at a 20 on this course. It dropped me down to a net 72.
Yeah, and I just like what we talked about, of course, we don't play a lot. Compass Point, you play a heck of a lot more than this course. You shoot a 90 on an average to a below average day. Here, on an average to a below average day, you're at a 92.
And the course of my life.
That's right. You have not played this one before. You've played the RTJ more because I know we've gone up there and played with Brian. But yeah, so it's a tough course. I wasn't going to talk about my numbers, but I ended up hitting 9 out of 14 fairways. And I know for a fact, 2 of them I was off by less than a club length. The others I was gone. Wasn't in play. And then I hit 44% of my green of the greens. And I want to be like, if I remember right, I got up and down 2 times, if not 3 times, but the other ones, if you missed the green, you were almost completely out of play. There were some just really tough areas. And if you missed, it was tough. It just was hard to get up and down. A lot of the greens seemed to be crowned. And I didn't remember the back side of a lot of the greens having so much roll off. There was 2 back pins. There was one I remember. I was like, dude, I threw the perfect number up there. And I get up there, and it was just a crest. And I was like, all right, I'll be just off the back. Well, the back ended up being 15, 16 yards downhill.
Yeah.
And then I try to chip up, and if I chip it short, and it comes back to my feet. Like, I think I did that once or twice as well, too. The course played a little bit more challenging for the wetness, because I would like to think the wetness would hold a little bit, but you know, the greens were still a little firm.
My biggest thing was I was shocked at the end that I hit 8 of 14 fairways. Now, there was 2 that were very short that I skied and made it to the fairway, and it counts. But at the same time, like 57% fairway and reg is actually astonishing for me.
I think that's PGA average is 56, 57% of fairways. It's, was it 8 of 14, I think, is they're looking at it. And that's solid. I was 64% and then 44% greens. 1 or 2 greens that I missed. Now, I do remember going iron off the tee a couple times that made it. Obviously, it makes that going into the greens a little bit more challenging. But overall, I'd have no problem going back to play that course again. I know I complained a little bit during the round about how tight it was. And there's just no room for error. But that's on me. I wasn't hitting it the best that day. And just like any golfer, we want to complain a little bit. And it is what it is. And I don't know, maybe first time playing with
your brother going 14 for 14.
He did go 14 for 14 at fairway. Tip your hat to him. But as I said, playing with my brother, you think you and I are competitive. Me and him have been pretty competitive.
Yeah.
I'm 43 years now. We've been pretty competitive.
Little brother syndrome.
Yeah. And I haven't played with him since our trip to Scotland last year. And yeah, I've been telling him I've been playing well. So I wanted to go out and play well and show him that what I was telling him wasn't just, but no, good day. Congrats to you. Like I said, the tide seemed to be turning. Hopefully I get my stuff together and figure out for next week get me back on the right direction. And I don't know, you get 2 points there. So in our summer season right now, you've got 5.5 points to my 3.5 points, which seems that's a good size lead. It's not like a one round's going to be able to take it away from you. At least could maybe tie it up next week and go from there. But no, I think
technically I would have won back-to-back rounds too if we would have counted all of them.
If we would have counted all of them?
Yeah, if Stone Lee would have counted the next day.
What did you shoot? So the next day, just so Gray, everyone knows, Gray came out to my course with my brother and we met back up here. And I don't even know, what did you shoot?
Oh, I shot a number. I shot an 85.
It's so late. You shot 85.
Why? 85, 85 net 64.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You know why I remember that? Because my brother and I talked about that at dinner and how in any tournament, you would have been kicked out of the tournament.
Oh, probably.
You
yeah.
That much better than your
probably.
Handicap.
Probably. Yes.
I mean, because if you're over 10 shots better.
I was playing at a 21 handicap.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so
your course had me at a 21 because I was still like, I think I had dropped overnight. To like a 17, from a 17.9 to a 17.4 or 17.5. Yeah. And then after that round went in, I am now close to my starting, but a 15.9. So oh. I continue on this streak. That's gonna be good.
Speaking of your
I did shoot, I do believe I shot my best nine score of the season, though, with a 40 on the back nine.
Which some people, a lot of people think the back is harder than the front. I actually think it's a little
bit. I finally carded with you at least a true birdie to allow us to have some birdie juice. That usually I'm just waiting for you to card one.
We do the net birdies now because
every once in a while. Now that I'm playing well again, we're just going to be straight birdies because I'm going to be adding to the pot more so.
Okay. Okay. I'm with you. I'll have one for you tomorrow. Thinking of you on the holes your birdies. But no, we're talking about streaks. We're talking about moving in the positive direction. So let's talk about our games. One thing that we have done in the past, we always put ourselves on a scale of positivity. We want to see how we think we are moving in the direction to hit our goals. We are sitting here at the end of July, and the only negative I see moving forward for both of us is that we're running out of time. Yes, I know where we are. You can play golf. I've played golf in December. I've played golf in January here, depending on some crazy weather. But the true golf season probably really does end when the sunlight changes right there near November times. We only got a couple of rounds. And if we're trying to make some big moves in our handicap, you said you were sitting at a what score? What 15, handicap?
I'm at 15.9 right now.
Okay. A little bit of work to do.
A lot of work to do.
Yes and no. If you're going to need some low numbers, yes. You're going to need some rounds to get in. You probably need at least 10 to 20 more rounds in the year, which it is a lot, but it definitely is doable. I know we both have the summer season to end, which is a good 4 rounds right there. We have 3 majors left or more majors left, which is another 3, if not 4 rounds there. And then who knows what other rounds we play together as well. So right then and there, I know we have 10 to 12 rounds on the docket. So you add in 5 or 6 more, you can get to that 20 number. You throw just to be that single digit that you're looking for. It doesn't mean you got to be in the 70s. Single digit's going to be 78 to 86 range. It's just trying to get that consistency down.
Got
to
knock out my number one goal, though, which is have a 70s round. I just got to get one first.
Got to put 18 holes together. I think both of us, it's putting a whole round together. That's the difference in both of us hitting one of our goals. But the scale of positivity, I was thinking of what our numbers were the last time I believe we talked about our scale. I think we had it coming back from the Gents Cup. And Greg,
that was a low number.
It was. Your scale was a 2 out of 10.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
What? My clubs were borderline on Facebook Marketplace at that point.
I would have just.
They might have been packed up already.
I would have bought them with the company and held them on. So I would just held them for you. But what is your scale now? The tides have turned in the summer season. you're on a 3-4 round stretch where you're playing more like the golf you can play. I wouldn't put them as your best rounds, but they may be the best for 2024. Yeah. You're definitely moving in the right direction. So what is the scale of positive?
I'd say I'm back up to a even kilter, not 100% positive, but not down in the dumpsters. Like, I'd put me at like 7.5, where I feel like I can meet at least a goal. I think I do think that I have a 70s round in me.
I did too. I would agree.
I look at my 84, I look at my 85. My 85 had a quad and four doubles on it. My 84 had two triples and three doubles on it. There's plenty of simple mistakes that it just limiting drops, limiting three putting. I think my putting has gotten a lot better as of late, even though we got an argument about lag putting. But
we got an argument about lag putting?
Because I say that you're still trying to make a putt even though you're lagging it up there. Still trying to stay online. And you said, no, if you're lag putting, you're not trying to make it. But
you're trying, yeah. Yes and no. You're trying to make it. You're trying to give it a chance to go in, but you're just as happy if it's not going in.
Oh, yeah. I'm perfectly happy if it doesn't go in and it stays right there and I'm tap in. Sure. It's great as long as it's not for a quad instead of a triple. I feel that I'm playing much better and swinging, and I really haven't, and this isn't positive. I don't know if it's positive or negative, but I really haven't even been practicing much. I've taken some swings here and there. I will say most of the rounds that I've gotten to, I have swung a club 5 or 6 times before I've gotten there, but I haven't been. I went through my grind session where I was grinding out of range every day and not seeing the numbers that I was. And I probably just gotten to my head a little bit, taking a little step back with a family issue and not being able to swing a club as much and whatnot. Just reset my mindset to the point where I'm happy to be out there and I'm going to take things in ebbs and flows. I'm not going to be pissed off if I don't birdie every hole. I'm not going to be pissed off if I have a double bogey and let it roll over. And it's just tomorrow I'll have a range session and work on some tee balls for the most part, because I think that's still the number one killer of my game. But other than that, I think I'm managing courses smarter. You've played 2 rounds with me since I've been back and haven't seen the other ones, but you don't see me pull driver out of the bag every single time. Yeah. I hit 3 hybrid and 5 iron and other clubs plenty of times now.
Yeah, we haven't done a truth talk where we talk about where we are in our games probably since Gents Cup. And I could definitely tell one thing that I've mentioned to you is that you need to make sure you're playing golf. And as I know you're saying you haven't grinded, but you've played more. You're on the golf course more. And you, when you get this combination, and I know you haven't been able to get to the range as much because of the travel and everything that's gone on, which is awesome, because now when you start getting to the range and start playing golf, I think that's where you're going to start seeing those little, or I would say those big numbers become smaller, and that little bit of a change is going to be that difference between an 88 to 92 is now going to be 82 to 86. And you're going to be one solid 9 holes where you throw up a 37, 38. And now you're just trying to stretch for that 79 number is right there. And I think that's the number one thing right there. The biggest thing that you need to do, and people might laugh at you, and if they, I would love to see some comments below about this. All right. Who does or does not use a tee for par 3? I've never been, and I've been to a handful of golf matches, but I watch a lot of golf on TV. I have never seen a professional golfer just throw their ball down in a tournament to hit and say, you know what, this is a good time to practice, because it's not a good time to practice. There's a reason you teed the ball up. It gets you better contact. Hopefully gets you better contact and you hit it. So if you do, that's 4 holes around that you're going to improve at least 1 shot, if not 2 on. And if you can do every 4 holes, pick up 1 shot, now that 87 is an 83, or that 83 is a 79. So boom, there you go. I think I've just solved all your problems.
Thank you, Dr. Phil.
Just use a tee in the ground on the par 3. But let me know, people in the comments, let us know.
So I don't have to use a tee with 3 hybrid on par 4s?
No, that's, I'm talking irons, more of the irons. Tee it up. You do tee the driver up.
I tee the driver and the 3-wood up. Everything else I hit off the ground.
That's something we're going to work on. Something we got to work on. I'm going to put a rule in that if you come to my golf course and you're not hitting driver, that you have to use a tee. You have to use a tee.
I'm going to make a t-shirt that says no tees. No tees necessary.
I'm pretty sure that that's the DOD. I think that's
he probably copyrighted that already. But his driver off deck.
I mean, he does. It's a little crazy, but he hits it well. I've seen him hits it really well. No, I definitely see you going in the right direction. For myself, I think the last time we did this after Gents Cup, I still was pretty high. I don't remember the exact number, maybe an 8 or a 9. And I'm almost going to say that I'm more closer to that 8. I'm going to say pretty positive because the numbers are close and I'm close as far as.
Because your goal is a sub-3, right?
A sub-3 and a par are better round.
And you're sitting at what?
I'm currently sitting at a 3.6. I've been at 3 since the beginning of summer. So I've been at 3 pretty much since the start of the summer season. All put it this way, all of my 8 counting scores are 79 or below.
That's pretty dang solid.
So, and 4 of them are 75s.
3 over par.
So, I did have a 74. That's both my low round of the year, but that's actually fallen off already. And I know when I get to that time where the 75s, I actually had 3 75s in consecutive rounds. So during that time, whenever I get to that numbers, when they start falling off to the 20 rounds, I'm going to have to put up some good scores, or I could easily go back up to a 5 or 6, or I can go down. And I know I could always go down, but it's going to be difficult. It's like the other day.
You throw up an even par round, though, that's got to drop you down to a 3.0.
Yes, I do think so. I don't want to think that in order to get both goals, I have to do both things, but I think you're right. If I can throw an even par or get lucky and throw a 71, because if it's at home, 18's a birdieable hole. Mm-hmm. It's a double bogey hole too, but if you throw a birdie up there to shoot a 71, yes, I don't think there's any way it won't drop right now when it's the half point that I need.
And then you just got it and keep it there.
Yeah.
And you stop looking at it.
But I feel stuck at times. I feel like I can't put 18 holes. I know I have had some really good starts in my last 2 rounds. I think I've come off 9, 1 over, even 1 under. I'll push it to 10, 11, 12, and then I fall apart. Yesterday I sat on 13 and I was 1 over through 13, doubled 14, took a 9 on 15, and ended up with a 79. On the card. And in the round with you, I think I shot 80 and I had 2 double bogeys with an 80. So I really am going out confidence that 76, 77 is what I expect to shoot. That is what I am looking to shoot at my course. And like when I get those rounds and I don't know if I just got to keep putting myself in those situations, start feeling the nerves a little bit. I haven't quite felt the nerves that I did early on where I came to 17 needing a birdie to shoot even and ended up doing bogey double to finish. But I have, obviously the only way I'm going to get it is I keep putting that pressure situation on me. So I don't know. I don't know if it's, I need a coach. I don't know if I need mental things. I don't know if I need reps to go play. I want to keep grinding away. My practice sessions have gotten, I don't know, not as much focus in them. I'm not trying to say that I'm quit on the whole practice thing, but I definitely have tried to get out and play.
You're talking
the hell
about
with
practice?
Yeah. I definitely try to get out and play more than practice, but it's been tough. But it's still positivity. I'm at an 8 just because I do think I'm a couple holes. I'm a couple, if I could eliminate some big holes and roll in 1 or 2 more putts. I actually think I've been rolling the ball really well, but I'm not making a tremendous amount of birdies. I am just right there. Now, If I'm hitting more greens, obviously I'm going to be hitting greens to 30, 40 feet away sometimes. So two putting is pretty good, but a lot of times when you're not hitting greens, you may be throwing it closer to the pin and you only have 10 footers and you got an opportunity to make those more often.
So on a putter now, right?
Yeah, I've been playing my double wide since. Since Myrtle, I think.
At the new head cover.
Since I got the baseball head cover, yeah. Yeah, I've been playing that. I do like it. Feel pretty good with it. Every once in a while, I'm still hitting the top of the ball, but I just said, I'm not grinding on the range and playing like I was for a little bit. I don't know, blame the heat, blame whatever, blame being busy around the house, but that's where I am. So I'm still an 8. So you're a 7.5, which will round up to an 8. I'm an 8. We are locked and loaded. I still think we're on the right. And one thing we mentioned at the beginning of this episode is we are getting ready now for major number 4, I know the tides are turning, Greg. This is
a big one. This is a must win. I'm Dormy right now.
You are in our World Series. You're Dormy, and it's big. So we have decided that we are going to play on August 7th and August 8th. We are going to play a 36-hole match play on back-to-back days. We're going to play back-to-back 18 holes, and we are going to do it home and home. So one day, Greg's going to come out here and play Stone Lee, and then one day I'm going to head to South Riding, and we're going to either play South Riding or Pleasant Valley, which are his two sister courses right there, basically, in South Riding. So we'll let him choose. We haven't quite decided which day will be which, but we'll let people know. Major number 4.
Must win. But you know what? You know what? If there's anybody that's good under pressure, it's a diamond like me.
A diamond like you?
Yeah. I'm not a dime. I'm a diamond. I might be both, actually. I'm pretty good looking.
Are diamonds good in pressure?
Yeah. Pressure builds diamonds, man. You don't know that. How is a diamond made?
I know they're unbreakable. Crush a diamond.
Basically, pressure turns stone. It's coal into diamonds.
Don't act like
you're sure. You want me to look it up real quick?
No, I don't. Tyler has showed me the YouTube video of the Dude Perfect guys where they tried to break a diamond and you can't break a diamond with a hammer.
You can't.
I know. I'm telling you. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. You can't. I saw the video. And you know everything on the internet is true, right?
That's true.
That is true.
Actually, the Dude Perfect guys make all of those shots first time too.
No, they don't.
Look at
this. They tell you
they don't. Just Googled it, all right? At very high pressures and temperatures, the carbon atoms are squeezed so much that they start touching more atoms. When the pressure is about 50,000 times the pressure at the surface of the Earth, the temperature is 1,600 degrees Celsius. I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit. The carbon atoms bond with 4 other atoms, and the result is diamond. Pressure builds diamonds, baby. You never heard? Come on now. You're an athlete.
I didn't do a lot of diamond stuff. No, you're a wrestler. Was it Dallas? Diamond Page Dallas? What was his name?
Diamond Dallas Page, baby.
Diamond Dallas Page. I know. That's probably where you got it from. So WWE, that's where it's at. WWF, let's go way back. WrestleMania.
I was more of a D-Generation X guy.
What was that? WCW?
No, they were WWF.
Now WWE. They need to bring that back. The good stuff back. Nowadays.
Nowadays it's a little watered down.
Hulk Hogan, The Undertaker, WrestleMania, the cage matches, Royal Rumble.
Stone Cold.
You can't.
The Rock before he was the Tooth Fairy and everything else that he's been in lately.
There.
Guy's made millions, though.
Been pretty successful.
Yeah, pretty good.
Been pretty successful. So, but all right, yeah, August 7th, August 8th. Be looking for our updates when we talk about major number 4, 36-hole match play. Obviously, we'll keep our net scores through that. So hopefully, Greg's gets a little bit lower, and everything's going to be evened up for us. But looking forward to it.
Blind Hail Mary on the Monday before that. Just to mess with your head. Win a blind Hail Mary and get you pissed and then have you go into a major all pissed off. And especially if I win by one stroke due to a 17 handicap.
My positivity is at 8. So if I win next week, take 2 points, the blind Hail Mary would put me at a 4-point advantage. I might just ice the whole thing on the blind Hail Mary and not even have to worry about the major. But
yeah. Or you could dig yourself a big hole.
Big hole. Not too big. No matter what. No matter what. I have a 3-0 lead in the majors. I lose the
season.
That
is true.
It's a marathon, not a sprint. We're going to get it done.
Lots of golf to be played, though.
There is still a lot of golf to be played. A lot of golf to be played. All right. I look forward to hearing about your rounds over the next couple weeks. Everybody who's liked the episode, please go ahead and down there, like, follow, subscribe, do what you do on your podcast networks that you follow us on. Look forward to hearing.
Tell a friend. People in the comments. You should have a bring a friend episode.
Bring a friend episode. Tell a friend. Get us going. But look forward to checking you out in the comments. Great. Have a good evening.
You too.